Have you read or heard the news lately? Well, most of it is bad news, likely to leave you depressed rather than inspired. That's what you get these days on the evening news and other news media. The good news is that there is an alternative. Dr. William Porter has provided wholesome yet compelling stories about people's experiences that many consider unusual, extraordinary, or even miraculous. Dr. Porter is an author who has chronicled stories like these in several books he has written. These stories have come to life on the Storytelling Time radio broadcast. So be prepared to hear some good news for a change. Here is Dr. Porter with today's story.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Let's get started with a prayer. Dear God, thank you for just being alive today, because we know that you are the giver of life. And we also know that in this life we will have challenges. I pray that we meet those challenges by doing what you would have us to do in any situation we find ourselves that requires your help. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of inspiration for today is the following quotation. If someone doesn't appreciate your presence, make them appreciate your absence. By an unknown author. After Maggie and her friends prepared for the big dinner, she gave John a call in their room and asked him to come down to the restaurant where she was. Of course, she really wasn't at the hotel restaurant, but in the ballroom waiting for John to arrive. She told him to follow the directions of the hotel bellboy, whom she already had instructed to bring John to the reception. After Maggie called him, John came down into the lobby, and soon after that, John was brought to the ballroom, at which time the bellboy told him to open the door and go inside, just like Maggie had instructed him to direct her husband. Up to that point, the crowd was anxiously waiting for him. A buzz was in the air. Everyone was in a festive mood, waiting for the person that they really wanted to see, that being John. Then he slowly opened the door. As John slowly walked inside, he was mystified at what he saw. Then John realized that he was the main attraction, as the crowd blurted out. Yes, John was met with a big surprise, as the crowd shouted in unison. Then everyone said, again, in unison,
"Happy anniversary!"
It was clear from the look on his face that John indeed had been surprised. Maggie then went over to him and said, "Happy anniversary, honey." At that point, John was speechless, then gingerly told her, "I don't know what to say." Then she retorted, as in a whisper, with everyone watching, "Well, my Lord, say something. Say happy anniversary back to me." "Okay, okay," he said back to her quietly, so no one else could hear him. He finally got it, and then blurted out, "Happy anniversary, Maggie." Then everyone in the room cheered and gave applause, a continual applause, as they both were guided by the bellboy who brought John there to their positions on stage at the head table. Then other guests who were designated to sit there followed them and took their positions. Maggie's mother, who was the main organizer of the event, had contacted as many friends, relatives, and church members as she could and had persuaded many of them to brave the weather and make the 2-hour drive down to Chicago for this event. A large number of those who were invited were willing to make the trip, and a well-attended gathering ensued for this special celebration. At the head table, Mincy had personally set out what were called place cards. Well, these place cards identified the six people designated to sit there. John was directed to one of two center seats where he and Maggie would sit. Mincy made sure that the pastor and first lady were even more comfortable than the others sitting at the head table. Their chairs were a little larger than all the others and were more like recliners. She really wanted Maggie and her husband to stand out. Well, John especially, as he was seen as such a pillar in the community, Mincy thought. She knew that many in Detroit saw him as royalty and wanted him to be treated that way. There were two seats beside John on his right and the same number to the left of Maggie. These remaining four seats were designated for guests who were privileged to sit at the head table with the pastor and first lady. The two seats beside Maggie were taken by Mincy and the bishop of the district where Mark Methodist was located. The remaining two seats beside John were taken by his father, John Sr., pastor of Mark Methodist back in Flint, who sat beside him, and the mayor of that city, who was a personal friend of Pastor John Sr. He took the last seat. After everyone was seated at the head table, Mincy took over the proceedings, discussing the purpose of the event and introducing those seated at that table. An agenda listing the order of events had been placed in front of each person sitting there, as well as being distributed throughout the audience. The room was filled to about one-fourth of its capacity with about 100 guests, including friends, relatives, and church members. After each member of the head table spoke a few words, the spotlight turned to John, and as usual, he did not disappoint. John stood up and began to address the crowd that was in front of him. We'll be back to see what he said after a break.
Do you want to read some good news for a change? With all the things going on in the world today, it's refreshing to find good news. Well, Dr. William Porter has written three books that include a bit of intrigue, drama, and yes, a little romance, among other things in the storyline. So if you like biblically based, spiritually focused stories, do yourself a favor and read some inspiring accounts of people's experiences that may be considered extraordinary and in some cases even miraculous. Dr. Porter has written three books based on real life experiences, some of which are his own, and others have been communicated to him from those who have agreed to share their stories. Life in the Spirit was his first book, which is a nonfiction collection of short stories documenting people's experiences that they believe to be unique, unusual, and what Dr. Porter calls extraordinary. Heaven Can't Wait is his second book, which is a fictional novel. A third book is another nonfictional account of a collection of short stories that is titled Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. For more information, visit the website williamporterlife.com. He also can be contacted at the email address waporter4995@yahoo.com. So do yourself a favor and read some good news for a change.
Welcome back. John began his remarks and said how wonderful it was to be married to Maggie and that their relationship could not be any better. While John was addressing the crowd, Mincy glanced at her husband, Matthew, who was sitting among others in the audience on the front row, and gave him a wink. But a more significant gesture was made by Maggie, who, because of her facial expressions, seemed to question the truthfulness of her husband's words. She was thinking, how could he say something like that? How wonderful our marriage is. Well, there are some things that definitely could improve in our relationship, she thought. But then she got control of her inner emotions and began to give the outward appearance of the dedicated wife of a very likable public figure in the community. John, known for his long, elaborate speeches, spent quite some time speaking and concluded by saying that he and Maggie would love to speak to everyone at the reception following the dinner. Shortly after John's remarks, which lasted just under an hour, dinner was served and everyone partook of a sumptuous meal prepared by the hotel's restaurant staff. After another hour, when everyone had finished eating, they were directed to a room adjacent to the main ballroom for a closing reception, which lasted yet another hour. That's right, the entirety of the celebration that Mincy had planned, together with her daughter, Maggie, including the reception portion of the festivities, took over 3 hours. Once at the reception, everyone sought an opportunity to speak with the popular minister who was honored for his marriage to Maggie. Even though the celebration was meant to be for the both of them, he received the bulk of the attention. This kind of adulation seemed to drive John more to be the influential minister in the community that he was, to whom people looked for to give guidance and inspiration. The only problem was that fulfilling this role often came at the expense of his relationship with Maggie, who sometimes felt lonely. Lonely because of his association with other people and the time spent away from focusing on their marriage. Many times she felt deserted by her husband when in public and sometimes even when they were alone together. He often did not give her the attention that she thought she deserved. As a result, much of the time her mind was still on Fred, the love of her life. But she played the role of the good wife of the minister and gave all appearance of being happy in the relationship. Let's take another break, and we'll be right back.
This is follow-up to my previous posting in reference to Life in the Spirit by Dr. William Porter. I must say that I was more than thrilled to meet with him yesterday to gain my own personally signed copy of this book. I must also say that from page one, I was captivated by his connections with practical living, real life experiences to scripture. And for me, that is a win-win situation. But look, just don't take my word for it. Actually, yeah, take my word. But also, take a look and read for yourself. Life in the Spirit, Dr. William Porter. You can also access more information online at www.williamporterlife.com. Happy readings!
Welcome back. In addition to John, there were others at the reception who drew the spotlight. Among them was the mayor, a popular figure in his own right, who was sought after by many of those in attendance. And he gladly received the attention because of his efforts in a re-election campaign. Then there was the bishop, whose status and influence in the Methodist Church naturally elicited notice. Many of the others present were largely ignored and treated as ordinary people. Matthew, Maggie's father, for example, sat in a chair by himself, only talking with someone who might occasionally pass by where he was sitting. But most of those gathered for the occasion conversed during the reception well into the night. Finally, just before midnight, everyone had retired to their rooms. Maggie and John were among the last to leave the reception except for her parents. Not having to worry about cleanup, they started toward their rooms when John remembered that he needed to get something from their vehicle, which was parked a short distance from the front entrance to the hotel. He said goodnight to his in-laws and told Maggie that he would be up shortly. As John headed toward the front entrance, he soon stepped outside and was met with a fierce, howling wind that carried with it small flakes of snow. The temperature must have been in the low 20s at the time, but with the wind chill, it felt closer to 0 degrees. Dressed only in his casual attire, John decided to come back inside and get a heavy coat from their room before braving the elements. Whew. It sure is cold out here, he said to himself as he re-entered the hotel. Maggie, Missy, and Matthew had not yet left the lobby when John was safely back inside and saw them waiting near the elevator. So John went up with them. When he came back downstairs after getting his coat, he was better prepared for the weather as he braced himself for the biting wind once he stepped outside. When he exited the front entrance for a second time, the wind again was howling and it was so cold. He shivered and shivered, but at least he was now able to deal with these harsh conditions, having his heavy overcoat on his back. Immediately beyond the front entrance, the surface was clear of snow and ice because of a wide canopy overhead just beyond several swinging doors. This kept much of the flurries from affecting that area. But when John walked a short distance from the front entrance, away from that canopy, he was totally exposed to the miserable conditions, including a slippery surface of frozen snow and ice. So he continued to where his car was parked, but before getting there, he slipped and fell to the ground. That's right, this popular preacher just laid there, flat on his back. But he was in that position for only a moment. He immediately hopped to his feet and asked himself the question, did anyone see me? He really wasn't hurt, but wanted to avoid the embarrassment of someone seeing his misfortune. Fortunately, his tumble was buffeted by the large coat he was wearing, and only his pride was injured, because no one else was around, at least as far as he could tell. Hoping that no one saw his fall, after he quickly got up, he went to his car and found what he wanted. He then returned inside to the warmth of the hotel lobby. As he came into that area, he could not resist hovering close to that huge fireplace to warm himself before proceeding back upstairs to retire for the night. While standing there, rubbing his hands to generate more heat, he watched the logs burning and decided to stay a little longer than he had anticipated. So he took a seat for a while to enjoy the cozy atmosphere of the area and to review a sermon that he had prepared but had forgotten to take from his rental car when he and Maggie first entered the hotel, a sermon that he had planned to deliver during the next church service. While sitting there, he couldn't help but notice people coming into and going out of the hotel on occasion, which allowed a touch of that howling wind with its very low temperatures to invade that area of the lobby where he was sitting. But that fireplace offered a reprieve. It was so comfortable and provided such a tranquil environment, unlike what was going on outside on this stormy night. And speaking of the outside, as John looked out the window, he saw the flurry of snowflakes against the dark background of night. It was truly a desolate-looking situation where no one, it seemed, was outside braving the elements. Only a few vehicles could be seen coming up to the hotel's front entrance under the bright lights of that canopy, defying the blackness of night where, hours earlier, the sidewalk in front of the hotel was crowded with people walking to and fro, as well as the sounds of vehicle congestion, characterizing a vibrant urban street scene. But at this late hour, the earlier congestion around the hotel had given way to John only occasionally witnessing the few brave souls that were out in such inclement conditions, some of whom ventured into the hotel to seek refuge, probably as guests who were checking in for the evening. And when they did come in, the cold air followed. "Hurry up, hurry up, close that door," John would say to himself. Meanwhile, John wondered what it must be like for anyone who had to be outside under these conditions for any length of time. it was really such a dreadfully stormy night. Coffee was available on a nearby table, so he took advantage of that. After preparing a cup to his liking, he continued to sit back, sip a little of the beverage, and enjoy the ambiance while being warmed by that huge fireplace burning with flames flickering and the contraption's power blower thrusting warm air towards him as he sat there, going over his notes. He could only imagine what the conditions might be like on the roads tomorrow when he and Maggie, along with her parents, would make their journey back to Detroit. Our special story scripture today comes from James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. These verses of scripture say, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." It has been said that to live for today and to love for tomorrow is the wisdom of a fool. That's because tomorrow in this physical life is promised to no one. That's what these verses of scripture are saying, but that's only a part of the story. We do have hope, for Jesus himself said, "Whoever believes in me shall never die." So how do we reconcile these two opposing views of tomorrow not being promised, but the assurance of eternal life? As believers, we adhere to what the Lord says about our future. The wedding anniversary of John and Maggie seemed to have all the trimmings of a festive event, something that they surely needed given their experience in Hawaii. It causes us to pause and take heed that amidst our festive occasions, it is important to realize that the spirit part of our being will go on long after the body dies, which gives hope for the future, even in the midst of a celebration like the one John and Maggie had during their self-imposed mid-year wedding anniversary. Our virtual song of the week is coming next. Well, we'll see you the next time. And remember, there is always more good things coming your way.
To live for today and to love for tomorrow is the wisdom of a fool, because tomorrow is promised to no one. You see, love is that wonderful thing that the whole wide world needs plenty of. And if you think for 1 minute that you can live without it, then you're only fooling yourself. Listen, please. I'd like to tell you something that happened to me just the other day. I awakened this morning. I was filled with despair. All my dreams turned to ashes. Now they're gone. And I look at my life. It was barren and so bare. Without love, I had nothing, nothing at all. Had a sweetheart. I was blind to her goodness, and I just could not see that a heart without love cannot live.
Storytelling Time comes to you every week with exciting inspirational stories about people's experiences that are unusual, extraordinary, and sometimes miraculous. Why not join the fun? Yes, we can all add an extra dimension to our lives by reading about what others are going through. You'll be surprised to learn that their experiences are similar to some of your own. Today's story only includes portions of Dr. Porter's book, Heaven Can't Wait. Other details of the story could not be shared today because of the limitation of time. Why not read the whole account of the story? Just go to the website, williamporterlife.com, to receive information on how to order this book, as well as other books written by Dr. Porter. Yes, there's always more. More good news to read. Life in the Spirit. Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. Heaven Can't Wait, the sequel.